right, we are back for the last segment of today's excellent Channel 9 Live. Now, we learned a lot at this event and over the past few days about a couple of giant releases, one of which being Windows 8, the other one being Windows Phone 8. But there's also this other little teeny product that we make at Microsoft that accounts for probably half of our profit and revenue, and that's called Office. And with me today is a gentleman from the Office team. You guys just released Office 2013, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Please introduce yourself.
That's right. So I'm Rolando Jimenez. I work in the team in Office that owns all the programmability. So we own the whole history of programmability from VBA 20 plus years ago.
Wow.
Now to the new investments that we're doing in Office 2013.
Okay.
And there's a lot of exciting stuff that we can talk about. So
of course.
Really excited to be here.
Good. Now, in some sense, you guys, like you said, you were writing VBA scripts and doing this type of thing for many years. Now you guys have sort of jumped onto the web kind of programming model. Can you talk to us a little bit about HTML and JavaScript and Word and Excel?
Definitely. Yeah, as you said, this is a big jump. I mean, I think it's the biggest change since we introduced VBA, which was one of the most popular extensibility technologies in Office.
Mm.
There's a lot of cones, like millions and millions of lines of code running in VBA right now. And now we're shifting a little bit, or a lot, towards the web.
Uh-huh.
And the main reason for that is we realize we need to modernize the platform. So most of the developer audience is already on the web. Everyone knows how to do a web page, how to do a little bit of HTML and JavaScript. And there's literally like hundreds of millions of people that know how to do web.
Mm.
And Office, up to the last release, was not really close to that audience. So there was a lot of potential that was not being capitalized. So with the new investment in Office, we're basically bringing Office in the web, basically immersed in the web, so that actually all those people that know how to do HTML and JavaScript mm-hmm. can now do Office extensions and then create really cool scenarios for our Office users.
Interesting. So take me through this. I mean, in the VBA days, I mean, you would write a VBA commandlet. I mean, I don't know exactly how we call them, but it's a VBA. It's kind of a scripting language, and you would like I would write a custom like Excel parser or something, and that, you know, I'd have to go through and start to do my math across all this really, I remember like long lines of script. Talk to me about where JavaScript and HTML5 fit in that world. So am I actually going to be writing those types of in-app apps?
Yeah, that's a very interesting perspective to look at the problem. When we thought about this platform, we looked at what you could do in VBA. Mm-hmm. And VBA became really popular primarily because it was very easy for an user to start what we call the macro recording, mm-hmm. which was, I'm in Excel, and I want to automate something that I do all the time. It's a repetitive task. So I record what I do, and then the VBA runtime basically generates the code behind the scenes for me, and that was really easy for end users to start doing a lot of automation.
Okay.
Now, a lot of the scenarios that VBA users do, it's to automate tasks for themselves, right? And we're shifting a little bit the focus based on what we're seeing the industry and what customers need. There's a lot of information, not just within in Office, mm-hmm. but just in the web, outside, like there's data, content, functionality, services, mm-hmm. all exposed in the web. Mm-hmm. So now with the new platform, we're trying to focus much more on reaching out and bringing that web content and functionality in the context of Office, rather than just automating a particular task for my own use. So it's much more about social, reaching out, collaborating with other people. So there's still going to be JavaScript code mm-hmm. that you do as a developer, mm-hmm. But the focus is much less on the individual productivity of a single person using Office, mm-hmm. and much more on reaching out to those services and rich content that it's already out there.
Awesome. So hey, this is Channel 9 Live, so this is about people out there asking experts right there about what they work on and what they know best. So rather than have me sit here and ramble on with this distinguished gentleman, we're going to jump over to Julian's question. Thanks for asking. So do the Office JavaScript libraries work with jQuery?
Yes, that's a very good question, and I get that question often, and I really glad to say the answer is an absolute yes.
Great.
And that's actually one of the key things that we want to promote. The reason we're bringing Office to the web is precisely because we expect and want people to be able to reuse all the different libraries that are out there, including jQuery, which is one of the most popular ones, but any library that you want to use, like Node.js, or even connect to other languages like PHP on the server side. All the stuff that you're used to doing the web today works in the new platform. And that's one of the key things that we want to make sure people are aware so that you can actually start using those skills that you already have.
Awesome, awesome. CA asks, is OpenXML SDK available for Windows Store app? Dun, 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 dun. There's a connection there because OpenXML is you guys.
Exactly. There is definitely a connection. So OpenXML SDK is basically the way in which, as a developer, you interact with the Office documents at the file format level.
Cool.
So it's definitely possible to create apps that Windows 8 apps that are sold in the Windows 8 store mm-hmm. that interact with that OpenXML format.
Awesome.
Now, in terms of the OpenXML SDK, you will have to integrate that as part of your Windows 8 app.
Understood. Good. Thanks for asking, guys. Keep the questions coming. Now, what about, you also have always been a big supporter of Calm Office.
Yes.
So have you guys sort of moved into the modern Calm world? Here's what I'm, here's really what I want to ask. In terms of native component development in Office 2013, have there been any advancements there?
I think the answer is similar to the answer I gave for VBA.
Okay.
We're no longer kind of focusing on extending the existing Calm object models, mainly because the scenario that we see out there are less about automating the apps. And Calm for us was a technology that allowed us to go very deep into the guts of the app mm-hmm. and automate every single aspect. Everything that the user can do on the UI, you mm-hmm. could do with Calm programmatically.
Yes.
Now, that's not the focus anymore. The focus is reach out to those web services that give you a lot of value in terms of connecting your content and people with your Office work. Mm-hmm. And that's why we are de-emphasizing our investments in Calm particularly, and then going more with the open model standards and adopting web technologies like HTML, JavaScript, and protocols like OAuth for authentication, things
great.
Like that.
Excellent. Great. So great segue. What happens if your app is offline? So in some sense, you want to be able to have this code running mm-hmm. in a disconnected state, depending upon what it does. So the question from Bollywick mm-hmm. is, what happens if your app is online? Is this for Office 365 or for Office, the stuff that runs on your client?
Yeah, that is actually a question that it's very interesting to look at from the perspective that Office apps or apps for Office are going to be part of your documents. So you basically start a Word document, and then you can insert an app for Office that allows you to read and write to that document from the web, for example.
Okay.
Now, when you insert that app into the document, the app becomes part of the document. So that means that if you send that document to someone that receives an email and opens it when they don't have network connectivity, the app is going to be part of the document, and what's going to happen? So the answer to that is, there are some apps that will be able to run offline, and that's up to the developer to code the app in such a way that it can make sense offline and work offline. There's a lot of support already in the browser stack that we rely on to enable apps in offline mode. So you can use HTML5, local storage, app cache, apps
nice.
That work offline completely. But in a lot of cases, I mean, your app may need to connect to a service because that's the value of the app, right? Just bringing that service into Office. And in those cases, what we expect is developers will have to code in such a way that the experience to the user is still reasonable. But at the same time, if 90% of your app depends on the service, you probably need to require the user to connect to give them something interesting. And users are used to that already. Like, if I open a Bing map in my phone and I don't have connectivity to the network, I mean, I understand that it's really hard to download all the cartography into my device, right?
Sure.
So I need to connect.
Absolutely. No, I mean, we live in a sort of a quasi-connected all the time state. But in reality, you do come in and out of connectivity. So it's sort of a occasionally connected state is something that's really the norm. But as you said, certain apps, sort of, it makes sense you're going to be online. It's like using a web browser is sort of the canonical example to surf to a URL. That makes no sense if you're not online.
Exactly.
So thanks for the questions. Keep them coming, guys. I love the Channel 9 audience. So Juanello asks, what types of apps can I build for Office? Like, what's going on here?
So we're building this platform, and that's a question that I can answer in different dimensions. The first dimension is, in terms of types of apps, you can think about the new platform really being a unification of two worlds that in the past have been really separate. And I'm talking about SharePoint and Office. So we're bringing a common model where you can create apps that work in SharePoint, apps that work inside the Office clients, and actually apps that integrate both Office and SharePoint. And in the future, we want to expand these to be a unified platform for Exchange, for Link, for all the products in the suite, so that developers can create solutions that actually leverage the full suite of Office. So in terms of that perspective, you can, in 2013 release, you can create apps that work for SharePoint, apps that work for the Office clients, that integrate, in the case of Office, with Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Project, and Outlook, and Exchange. And in the case of SharePoint, you can create apps that give you a full experience within your SharePoint site. You can also create apps that add parts to SharePoint pages, which we call app parts, or you could create apps that extend commands and functionality within SharePoint. And again, you can actually combine these two capabilities of extending the Office clients and extending SharePoint into a single app. So
nice.
Really the type of apps that you can create draws from a lot of these different extension points that we have in both products. And more, we will expect to see unification of these different products in terms of how you code them and the types of apps that you can create. Eventually, what I'd like to see is basically these apps that really leverage the full power of the suite, like connect to Link, connect to Exchange. They know about you, they know your mailbox, they know your documents, and they can actually give you a lot of value because they have kind of these interception points into all the things that you do with Office.
Awesome. Excellent, man. Now, let's just get this out of the way. How do you authenticate? You mentioned OAuth, right? You don't require, say, a Windows account, right? So you use OAuth as your default identity authentication.
Yeah, I mean, OAuth is definitely the protocol that we are adopting in terms of federating authentication. We know that people and third-party companies and developers have their own authentication schemes. But in terms of talking back to SharePoint and connecting to the SharePoint APIs, we are betting on OAuth as it's basically an open protocol for integrating different types of authentication. There are many vendors that support OAuth today, like Facebook and LinkedIn. All of them support one flavor of OAuth. So going into that direction, I think it's going to be very familiar to developers that are already doing integrations with other platforms.
Awesome. Now let's, you know, one of the things that is a fundamental, how shall I say, ball and chain of having successful software over a large span of time, in particular one that has a framework, has an API, is programmable, is that you're going to have a large concentration of programmers who are from the old way. And so when you add a new feature, this goes to sort of H's question that's we're going to ask you. I mean, when you add new features and you're focused on the web and you're focused on connected state, are you going to limit the accessibility of new features to old models, to COM, to script. That's not JavaScript in a hosted web page.
Yeah. I think we when we design this platform, we definitely think about the amount of code that is going to be created on top of it, and what's going to happen to the compatibility as Office starts releasing new versions, which
yes.
is a challenge that we've seen in the past with BBA or with the COM object models, that we release a new version of Office, and because that COM object model is so deeply integrated into the product itself, it changes with the product, even in ways that we don't expect. So in some cases, and this is not something that we plan for, but we break solutions that expect the APIs to work in a particular way, and when we release the new version, it breaks. And this is just a reality that we've seen developers having challenges with. Now, going forward, there's a lot of very explicit design thinking and decisions we're making in making these new APIs as abstracted as possible, mm-hmm. so that we can basically go across versions of Office without breaking the solution. So that's an approach that we're taking with the new platform, mm-hmm. Making sure that there is a layer of abstraction that allows us to innovate within the product without necessarily affecting all the solutions that will be created on the new platform.
Excellent. I mean, that's a great point. So Scott Cade asks, are there plans for web forms over Excel where a web form can be HTML embedded online mm-hmm. and be a data front end to a SkyDrive Excel file?
Yeah. That is definitely one of the key scenarios we want to enable. Mm-hmm. We have a first step in 2013 towards enabling that type of scenario where you basically fire up a spreadsheet and you want to collect data from, let's say, a few friends about something, or you want to just send out a survey, and you want that people to fill out the survey with a simple web form, but then capture that data into your Excel spreadsheet. That's definitely one of the scenarios that we want to enable. I would say in 2013, we have a great step in terms of letting you integrate HTML and JavaScript inside Excel so that you can actually have a web form today that adds that data into your Excel spreadsheet. Going forward, we're going to continue investing in that particular scenario, make it really easy for a developer to enable. So I would expect that in the future, that will become easier and easier. But today, it's possible.
Excellent, man. Now we have a question from another letter, so maybe somebody's going through the alphabet. So this is I.
Okay.
Is it possible to write macros in JavaScript?
Okay. I think that question, it depends what you mean by macro. If you, by macro, you mean the exact same concept that we have in BBA mm-hmm. that basically executed as part of the, let's say, in Excel, the calc engine or some user events, the answer is going to be no. But if you think about a macro as something, some piece of code that does something useful for the user, so that the user doesn't need to like copy paste and reformat a lot of data mm-hmm. and spend like 20 minutes just getting the document the way they want. Mm-hmm. From that perspective, I would say yes, JavaScript can be a good replacement for that type of macro scenarios.
Great. But I mean that next. I mean, let's talk about that. What other scenarios would there be for macros, right? I mean, you write a macro to automate some sort of redundant task,
correct?
Or to compute, to calculate,
yeah,
right? Instead of figuring out this formula myself, I just run a macro over some Excel code or some Excel data,
yeah,
and do my functional programming in JavaScript yeah. instead of VBScript.
Yeah. Now I think we have this legacy, which is, I mean, there's a lot of great code there. And a lot of people that have been doing macros and VBA, the mindset is really, I want to be in control of the app and stay inside the app and basically be in Excel. Now, the thing that I'd like to bring to the table is, when you think about macros and what they do for the user, think about also the power that it's already out there running in a service. So, for example, you can have a very powerful engine like Wolfram Alpha. Wolfram Alpha is a service that allows you to do natural language queries, and they gather knowledge from all over the web mm-hmm. and respond to your questions in natural language. Now, Imagine that instead of thinking about, hey, I'm going to create a macro that does a very specific thing, mm-hmm. I'm going to create an app that connects to this very intelligent engine that it's evolving all the time based on feedback and how the web moves. And then I bring that into the context of Office. So I have some data in Excel. I send it to the engine, and the engine gives me related data that it's relevant to what I'm working on right now. Mm-hmm. So again, it's not going to be your macro, right? But it's going to serve the same purpose in terms of helping the user accomplish a task. But now leveraging and tapping on the power of the entire web that it's out there.
So are you seeing a sort of a, do you expect people to basically build these macros, these I won't call them macros, forgive mm-hmm. me for using that word, these apps, these JavaScript HTML apps, as a service. So for example, I might want to use, I mean, I can imagine some very interesting things being done here with, so basically, that was my question, man. I mean, it's like, I can make money building these things that you could put into your context that interact with the outside world and services and Wolfram
exactly.
Alpha.
Exactly, and I think you are touching exactly on the point that we think it's going to be the sweet spot for these new platform that integrates the web in Office. Mm-hmm. We really don't expect to see a lot of code that just lives within Office but doesn't connect to the outside world. The sweet spot is really going to be when you start tapping on the power of all the services and all the APIs that are being exposed by third parties, by even within corporations, there's a lot of systems like LOB systems, ERPs, HR systems that are exposed through web services within the intranet of the company. Mm-hmm. And then the more you integrate and bring those in the context of Office, the more you will be on the sweet spot for this platform, which is about having Office add value to a bigger picture process, not just an individual person working in isolation, mm-hmm. but a people working with other people together.
Awesome. So now, of course, Office runs in the cloud, right, in web browsers, runs on Windows. The obvious question, and this comes from Kay, are Office apps supported on the builds of Office that are on Windows Phone 8?
On Windows Phone 8?
Yes.
This time around, we don't support Office on the mobile versions on the phone.
Okay.
Office apps, sorry.
Sure.
But that is something that we expect to invest in the future. So as you said, Office has evolved from being a desktop suite that only ran on Windows to this collection of clients that run on the web. We have the web apps, we have the mobile clients, we have the Mac, we have Win8. Mm-hmm. So we expect to, in the next few releases, to basically cover all the surface where Office touches different platforms and devices.
So now these Office apps that I write, they'll run on Office for the Mac?
They will at some point, okay. I will like to say.
Fair enough.
It doesn't work today. But
how about Office 365?
Office 365, definitely.
Okay, that's Michael's question. That's sort of an easy one. That's an easier
Office
one.
Office 365 is definitely the flagship product that, we're making a big bet in Office on the cloud. Mm-hmm. So the main focus in this first release was support the Windows clients that we have today mm-hmm. and support the web clients which work in Office 365. And if you have seen Office 365, it's basically about those two platforms together. Of course, there's also the mobile applications. And as I said, that's definitely next on the list for us to tackle because there's a lot of mobile scenarios that make sense for Office.
Awesome. Now, are Office apps supported on Windows RT?
Office apps are, we just released a version of Office that runs on Windows RT. Uh-huh. I mean, you got a Surface.
Right here.
You have Office right there. You have Office.
Yes, I do.
Office RT. And apps for Office will work there.
Cool. That's not surprising.
Yeah.
Right on, man. Good job. So let me ask you a question. This is, of course, going back to the legacy, which, of course, we can't ever get rid of legacy. But there's some damn good Office 2010 add-ins. Are they just going to work in 2013? I mean, you didn't break the add-in model. You just added something new.
Exactly. That's a very good point. We're definitely, we love the ecosystem that we have today, and that's part of what makes Office successful today, right? So we're definitely not going to leave our developers stranded, and we will continue to support all the technologies that solutions are using today going forward in this release and the next releases. So all your VSTO add-ins, your VBA code will continue to work where it works today. Now, one of the things that we are not going to do is start supporting those technologies in the new platforms. Like, for example, VBA is a technology that is well supported, will continue to be well supported on the desktop, but it's not supported on the web apps. And for the web apps, the new model is going to be the answer, right?
Sure, absolutely. It makes. I mean, it's sort of a perfect match. Now, Ryan asks, and I don't know that you're necessarily the you weren't the one who designed the GUI for the new Office, so I'm not sure if this is an appropriate question for you. But since it was asked, and Ryan was kind enough to ask a question, what was your inspiration for simplifying the GUI?
Okay, I'm going to give my opinion. As you said, I'm not the one that decided on that. But I can share the perspective being in the Office organization. I think there's just this general direction that the whole company is taking, and you're seeing that with the phone, with the new Windows 8 interface, and Office is just basically aligning with the overall direction in terms of providing an interface that aligns with the principles that are used in the new interfaces for the phone and Windows Surface. That is basically about simplicity, getting things done in and out very fast and be productive. And I mean, if you look at those characteristics and look at Office is all about productivity. So it completely makes sense to basically remove all the Chrome and make Office as lean and thin, but at the same time focus on content and give you a lot of value.
Excellent, man. So JB asked a question about versioning. This is interesting. I mean, you've gone with the HTML5 model. Therefore, I can assume that versioning is not going to be a big deal with these these in-application embedded HTML5 apps. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm assuming they will live on servers somewhere. But let's ask JB's question. How is app versioning handled in this new HTML5 embedded app model?
Okay, so versioning of your app code is definitely something that we thought hard about. So the overall life cycle from deploying your app to users to upgrading to new versions of your app. And basically, the approach we took is a simple one. We just follow the same patterns that you use today for web apps. So basically, all your code, it's hosted and deployed to a web server. And whenever you use it in Office, we're basically effectively just navigating to a URL that is being served by a web server. So if you need to version your app, all you need to do is basically update the code in your web server, and everyone that uses your app afterwards will get the latest version. So in terms of upgradability, that's going to be pretty much the same as the web. Like, you update your web page, everyone gets the new version. Okay. Same for apps for Office.
Excellent. We already answered H's question, and that was, will this be available on the Mac? And the answer is not yet.
Not yet.
That's a great answer, right? It's not yes. It's not no. It's like not yet. Visual Studio, TFS, and Easy Excel, blah, blah, blah. So this is from M. What's up? The names are interesting. I love how Visual Studio TFS uses Excel, an easy data entry service. At 30,000 feet, how can I make an Excel data editor for my app?
So I'm not sure I grasp the question,
but
if it's about being able to use Excel in a bigger context, in this case, I think he mentions using Excel on top of TFS to do data entry. So basically, Excel is your data entry client, and then
you're pumping it into
something else.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of potential here in terms of when you have apps for Office, like, for example, we have this task pane shape that allows you to be in Excel. So you can definitely create today with a new platform solutions that use Excel as a data entry. Let's say you have a table and you just enter a lot of rows, and then you want to send that information or consume that information to send it to a service like TFS in this case. And that's also something that it's enabled today. Like basically you used a JavaScript API that allows you to read whatever the user is entering in Excel. Mm-hmm. You still can use Excel and all the nice capabilities of Excel in terms of validation, formatting, sorting, filtering, doing analysis. But once the user is done entering the data, an app for Office can be the bridge between the data being in Excel and the data being consumed into a service like TFS.
That's awesome. Great question, M. Anybody with a real name out there, feel free to ask questions if you're interested in the new Office 2013 API, which I think is quite interesting. How do these apps interoperate with existing code?
With existing code, I would say there is a lot of interoperability that can happen between your app and existing code. Mm-hmm. Now, if that existing code is exposed as a web service, then or as a REST service, then it becomes very easy.
Cool.
Because I mean that's what you do in HTML and JavaScript. You do AJAX against your REST service, and in terms of just reusing the services that you already have, I think it's a great story.
Yeah.
Now in terms of interacting with code that is running in the client machine, BBA code, there is not an interop layer. However, there is the document itself serves as an interop medium, where the app for Office that it's built on HTML and JavaScript can write or read data into the document itself, and you can have other code that also does the same and achieve some level of coordination. But that's definitely not the sweet spot that we are looking at. It's technically feasible, but we're definitely looking more towards interop and reuse of your existing code that runs on the server and it's exposed as a REST or as a web service.
Excellent, man. Well, hey, it's great to talk to you.
Great
talking
to you.
You guys are doing great work in Office, and congratulations to a simplified model and one that's connected to the web and modern.
Definitely.
Rock and roll,
awesome,
man.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.